Welcome to the Pneuma Church Podcast. For more information on all things Pneuma, please contact us on our website, pneuma.church. Now get ready for another inspirational message.
Our culture prides itself on being able to solve humanity's problems. However, every one of us at some point in our lives will encounter a problem that IQ, willpower, and physical strength will not be able to provide a solution for. Jesus said in Mark 9:29, "This kind cannot be driven out by anything but prayer." Prayer fuels us with the spiritual power we need to experience transformation in our lives. Before we panic at the next problem that comes our way, we need to ask ourselves a question. Have I prayed about it?
Have you prayed about it? Today, as we already mentioned, we're continuing week one of 7 weeks of Kingdom Culture Values, what it looks like for us to live in the overflow, the expression of the Kingdom of God here on earth. And I'm just going to jump right into it because God's already been doing so much right now, and he's kind of shaking some things up. But if you've got your Bible, would you open up to John 14? We're mainly going to be looking from John 14 and 15 today. And at the very outset of today, as you open up your Bible, get into that place in John 14, I just need you to know, we need you to know that it would actually be inaccurate for me to think or for you to think that today, speaking about prayer, that we're able to speak and cover every aspect of prayer. It would be inaccurate to think that over the next 7 weeks that in each value or each principle in the Kingdom of God, that each week in just one sermon and in just one service, we'd be able to exhaust the fullness of that value. And today, I am really praying and believing that as we come all around prayer and how really it is the fuel for the power of God in our life, that we today and continuing on would understand that really it's just hitting a specific angle of the principle. It's really just hitting a specific angle of the principle of prayer, or next week, God's Word being our foundation. And it's really only meant to hit an angle so that the continuation or the beginning of our maturing in God would not just begin and end with one sermon and one service and one series about these principles, but that they would actually either begin or continue a lifelong pursuit of going deeper into the things of God, going deeper into what God's Word says about it, and continuing to grow and mature. Can we all agree to that?
Yes.
Because it's truly not going to have the greatest effect in your life if it begins and ends today, right now. Jesus says in John 14, beginning in verse 12, "Truly, truly, I say to you, whoever believes in me will also do the works that I do, and greater works than these will he or she do, because he says, I'm going to the Father. So whatever you ask in my name, this I will do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. So if you ask me anything in my name, I will do it." And then over to John 15 in verse 4, it says, "Abide in me," Jesus is saying, "and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit by itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. So whoever abides in me and I in him or her, he or she, it is that bears much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing." Are we getting that today? "But if you abide in me, and my words abide in you, then ask whatever you wish, and it will be done for you." We see in the life of Jesus that the overflow of his prayer life was a life of power. See, we see in the life of Jesus that it was prayer that fueled the power by which he lived, by the power that rose people, that raised people from the dead like Lazarus, that brought healing to people, that brought revelation. It was the overflow of his prayer life that actually was the power in his life. And we see Jesus not just modeling it, but he says to you and me today, The key principle in seeing the power of God released in our life is dependent upon our prayer life. That if we're going to live a life of experiencing the power of God in us and through us, then it's dependent upon having a consistent and authentic prayer life, abiding in Jesus Christ. See, we are called to experience and to live by the power of God. We're called to. Jesus says, "Truly, truly, I say to you, whoever believes." Have you ever thought about that? Whoever believes. Jesus said, "Truly, truly, whoever believes." And so, if you haven't picked up on it, there's no exclusion there. It's open. The door is open for everybody. But the principle and the requirement is that it's not just for everyone to come in and pray anything. It's whoever comes in and believes in me. He says, believe in me and they will also do the works that I do, and even greater works than these. See, as believers, we actually are meant to be experiencing the power of God in our life. But we need to understand that the power of God is lit in our life by our prayer life. Our prayer life determines the degree of the power of God that we do or do not see in our life. And yet, maybe you're here today and you're like, okay, Don, well then how come, if I'm called as a Christian to experience the power of God in my life, to see the power of God released through my life, if I'm called to that, well then how come, Don, I'm not experiencing that currently in my life? Well, either God is one who makes promises he doesn't intend to keep, or there is something that is limiting and hindering God responding to his promise and God responding to our prayer. And I want to read you the words of Jesus, because he says in John 15 that you did not choose me, but I chose you. And I appointed you that you should go and bear fruit, and that your fruit should abide or last, so that whatever you ask the Father in my name, he may give it to you. And so we see the first of God making a promise and wondering, okay, is he one to make a promise and not fulfill that? We see that nullified here, because God's desire, he desires so much that we would see him answer our prayers that are found in his purpose, found in his will. And so it's not that God does not answer the prayers that he's prayed because he doesn't want to. So when we make a prayer, or so then for not seeing the power of God released in our life, what does it mean? Because either God's one who makes promises and doesn't keep them, or there's something that's hindering and limiting the overflow of his power being released in our life. And I would put it before you today that if you're not experiencing the power of God in your life, I would put it before you today that the reality of that is probably because there's a connection issue between you and your source of power for your life. That there's a connection issue with you and your source of power in life. Simply put, if there's no power, there's an issue with the connection. Just like a microphone has the ability to project a voice, but if there's no power, obviously, Kirk experienced what all of us may experience if there's an issue with the connection. You hear me today? Yeah. He had the tool required with the power to project his voice, but there was an issue with the connection, meaning that what he was intended to do, it could not do. Yeah. Some of us are experiencing a lack in what God's called us to do because there's an issue with our connection. The Word of God gives us principles to live by. And next week, we're looking at how it really is the foundation for our life. We are called to experience and release the power of God. Jesus says it, truly, you can do even greater things than I did on earth. That's a big statement. Yeah. for not experiencing with a growing awareness and increase of the power of God in our life, I'll put it before you today. It's because there's an issue with your connection. Jesus says in John 15, abide in me, I in you. The branch cannot bear fruit by itself unless it abides in the vine. Neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine, you're the branches. Whoever abides in me and I in him, he or she it is that bears much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing. This week, I came home and I began having a conversation with Hannah, and I quickly realized that in having the conversation with Hannah that she was sitting on the couch with her phone before her, and her phone plugged into a cable, and the cable plugged into the wall charger. Imagine this is the power board. And I came in and I was talking to her, and then I realized something's not right here. She's got her phone plugged into the cable, and the cable plugged into the wall charger, but it ain't plugged into no power. The power board was right there, the rest of it was right here, and it was sitting right there on the ground. And I'm like, well, it looks like she's got everything she needs, but I think I should probably tell her there ain't gonna be no power. So I was like, hey, babe, just so you know, and I picked it up. I was like, there ain't no power in here. Like, it's not connected to its unlimited source of power. She's like, oh, thank you for that. You're welcome. The reality is that this is actually a great metaphor for what many of us in our Christian life are experiencing. We're doing everything that we've been told to do, or we think we should be doing. We're reading through the Bible, maybe mechanically, and we're going through life and we're doing everything that we think we should be, or we've been told we should be doing, but we're not experiencing any power. See, Hannah had all the right tools to be able to have power connected to her phone. But unfortunately, even though she had all the right tools, she had no power connection. She had the source to the unlimited power actually disconnected from the tools that she had. And some of us are walking around in our Christian life and we're doing what seems like everything on the outside, the tools and the Christian walk. But can I tell you today, maybe, just quite maybe, you're not experiencing the overflow of God's power and the principles in your life because you're disconnected from your power source. But I want you to know today, God's intention is that you would not be walking around like this through life. And if Hannah would have just continued in that manner, with her phone plugged into the cable into the charger, but not into the wall socket where the unlimited power comes from, her source, then there would have came a point where she would have been like, oh, my phone's dead. It's died. What happened to the power? Can I tell you today that if you continue on in your Christian walk and you're not abiding in a daily relationship with God in prayer, there's going to come a point in your life where you're going to stop, and either you're going to feel a little bit dry because of all the things that you're doing, or you're going to be praying for people over and over and over again, and you're actually not going to see God doing something in that moment. Not necessarily the exact thing that you expect, but something supernatural like we saw here this morning. And there's going to come a point and you're going to begin to feel a little bit drained, like a phone without any power source. And you're going to come to a point and you're going to say, what's happened to the power? But I feel God beckoning each and every one of us here today with his Father's heart to call us back into an abiding relationship with him, because his intention is not that we would feel guilty, not that we would feel shameful, not that we would feel ineffective in our walk with him. He's beckoning us back into a relationship with him because he so desires for you and I to understand and to know and to live in the truth that your prayer is what fuels the power of God in your life. Jesus said, truly, truly, I say to you, whoever believes in me. Do you know that communication is one of the number one issues in any relationship, in any sphere of life? Communication breakdown actually is one of the number one issues in any relationship in life that ends up bringing some kind of separation. Because if we don't have effective, authentic, and consistent communication, then what ends up happening is that there's a breakdown in some connection with that person. And what's true in the natural is true in the spiritual. If we don't have authentic and consistent communication with God, then there will be a breakdown in connection. And at first, it may not feel effective, but can I tell you today, just get into the place of prayer. Seek God's presence. Just begin to actually pursue Him. And what might feel clunky, what might feel a bit awkward, actually over time is going to become to feel a little bit more effective, because again, you're going to be reminded in that place that it's not about you. It's not your skills. It's not your abilities. It's the source of power that you're connected to that's going to begin to manifest in your life. See, Jesus in Luke 5, we can't go into it today because of time, but Luke 5, He heals a man who had leprosy. It went viral. Everyone's Instagram storing that thing. It's going on Facebook. Even some people that's still in MySpace are like, man, hit Jesus up. He's got power. It's going viral. But we see what Jesus' response is in the aftermath of that. In verse 15 to 16, it says, after this miracle, the news across Instagram, MySpace, and Facebook about Jesus spread even farther. Believe it or not, massive crowds continually gathered to hear Him speak and to be healed from their illnesses. But listen to this, verse 16. But Jesus often slipped away from them and went into the wilderness to pray. We can wonder why He did that, but Jesus Himself qualifies why He did that. In John 14, He says, the words and things that I do before you, and I say to you, I do not speak on my own authority, but the Father who dwells in me does His work. Jesus says in John 14, believe that I am in the Father. I'm connected to the eternal source of power. Believe that I'm in the Father and He's in me. Or if you don't want to just believe me, then believe in the evidence of the works that you see before you. Jesus says that it's abiding in God, seeking Him in that place of prayer, which is communication with God, that is the overflow of the power of God being released in His life. If our Lord and Savior engaged in a consistent and committed prayer life, how much more do you and I need to make the decision today, no more, not a day further. Prayer is going to become a consistency in my life. Jesus says His prayer life fueled the power of His life. Prayer life fuels our reality of God working in and through us. Truly, truly, I say to you, said Jesus, whoever believes in, not just believes of God, but believes in God, requires an abiding in God. And I just had this picture this week coming into today, and unfortunately, I think some of us, and to be honest with you, there's been times in my own life in the last 10 years where I've had moments of just questioning and even doubting at points if God's power really could be manifest in my life and other people's lives. But I have rather learned to take any kind of doubt and confusion or uncertainty back to the feet of Jesus. And just now, God, I have salvation because of You. And so I'm choosing that if there's any kind of doubt in my life, any kind of fear, worry, or concern, I'm choosing that that is actually going to be another driving force for me to actually come back and be plugged into You, so that You can actually give me the peace if that's what's needed, the joy if that's what's needed, the provision if that's what's needed. I'm not going to allow that doubt, confusion, or uncertainty that life brings us to actually be the disconnection between my life and the power source that I am called to live by. But you know, sometimes we act pretty obnoxiously, pretty ludicrous sometimes in our response to not seeing something that we're believing for. See, if most of us were to take our phone and plug it in, and to go on and come back and check that it's not charging, it would be completely thoughtless to straight away jump to the conclusion that there must be a power outage in our area or in our house. Most of us would not jump to the conclusion, oh, must be a power outage. What would we first do? Well, we know it's plugged in there. We know we're actually at the place of our devotion. Oh, but what's this here? What's the connection? Where's the disconnection in my phone to the power source? We wouldn't straight away jump to the conclusion that there must just be no more power. It's run dry across the whole earth, not just Cheltenham. Roll back to the Stone Ages. It seems ludicrous to think just because our phone doesn't have any power, straight away to go to those conclusions. But how many times in our Christian walk do we jump to the conclusion that just because we maybe didn't see one person healed, or maybe we didn't see the answer to the prayer straight away in the way that we thought it would, that, oh, prayer doesn't work. Back to the 400 years of no voice from God coming down to earth. Friends, please hear God's heart today. His desire eternally is that we would abide in Him. And we're going to look at how we abide in Him in just a moment. But He desires that because it's abiding in Him that we're connected to the source of life, the source of power. If we're not experiencing in a area or areas of our life the power of God, then I would put before you today, check the connection. What's your prayer life like? Have you prayed about it? Not just have you thought about it, but have you actually prayed about it? If you're confused about it, have you prayed about it? If you're sure about it, have you prayed about it? Have you prayed about it? We're called to abide in Jesus Christ. How do we abide in Jesus? Well, it's by choosing to be in His presence. Remaining in Him. The most consistent way that you and I are able to abide in relationship with Jesus Christ is through prayer. Yes, prioritizing a daily devotion. What time? Where? Are we going to actually just close the door to the world and actually just be between us and God? Speaking to Him, listening to Him, opening up the Word of God. Yes, it comes through prioritizing a daily devotion, but it also goes past that. There's a guy by the name of Brother St. Lawrence, and he wrote a book. There's a book written by his letters, and it's all about the practice of God's presence wherever it is that we go. And this is the thing about abiding in Jesus Christ through prayer, is that we can be abiding in Jesus Christ in prayer at our home, and that being the foundation in our devotion. But God's desire is that no matter where it is that we go, we'd be abiding in Him, then becoming aware of the overflow of that deep reservoir that we're digging into every single day, and our dependence upon Him, and that daily devotion, whether it be in the morning, whether it be at lunch, whether it be at night, that daily consistency, that time, that separate place of devotion with God, when we're digging into that well, then when we are going about the rest of our world, there's going to be a greater store, a greater awareness of what God is wanting to do, so that no matter where we go, the prayer that we have in the morning, in the afternoon, or at night becomes the power by which we are consistently living in and living by. That's the privilege that you and I have. When it comes simply through communication with God. How did Jesus know what to do when He prayed for people? He says, I know the Father's voice. Because I don't say things on my own. I say things because that's what Father said. I don't just do things on my own. I do them because that's what Father's doing. The only way He knew what the Father said and what the Father was doing is if He was consistently spending time with the Father. So I want to ask us today, where are you consistently spending time with the Father? make a plan and make it happen. Abide in him because he's called you to live a life experiencing and releasing his power for you to experience, but for others as well. And maybe today you're saying, well, Don, I don't actually pray because I don't really know how to pray. No one's taught me. I haven't learned how to pray. I want to just give a couple practical things for you, direction to kind of direct you today, that this wouldn't just become another service, another sermon, but it would actually become an angle in prayer, becoming a lifestyle for you. Maybe you haven't been taught how to pray. Well, number one, go to the Bible. It's our foundation. And maybe begin in Matthew and begin to read through Matthew. Jesus speaks on prayer all throughout the Gospels. So maybe it's actually getting the YouVersion Bible app and searching prayer in the Bible reading plan and actually just going through a reading plan about prayer so that the Word of God lined up with wisdom and counsel can actually begin to be a practical weapon in your life on going to the place of prayer. But go to the Bible and just know it's not just reading. Prayer is communication, speaking and listening. Another thing to do is join a life group. Come to a life group, join a life group, and actually in that place of authenticity, in that safe environment, just begin to hear how other people pray. Begin to dive into the studies that we have, looking at what is prayer, the different kinds of prayer. Begin to just learn from others. Maybe for you, you want to take a step further. I would encourage you, maybe actually commit at least once a month to going to our prayer service at 3:30 p.m. at Pneuma City that we have there currently. All of our Melbourne locations have the opportunity right now to go to a 3:30 p.m. prayer service on a Sunday afternoon. Maybe commit to doing that at least once a month until we have one here locally. Because in that prayer hour, we actually engage in all different kinds of prayer, from thanksgiving to interceding to just pleading and petitioning God to actually bring breakthrough. Maybe that would be it for you. Commit to doing something that you're not already doing so you can go deeper in your walk with God and grow in your prayer life. Is that all right?
Yes.
I'm going to invite the band up. It begins with us. It begins with us. God's wanting to do so much in your world. Genuinely, he's wanting to do so much in your family, in your workplace, and in your world, through you and in you. Like, genuinely, he wants to do so much in your world, in you, and through you. I'm not talking to empty seats right now. I'm talking to every single one of us. Prayerless life ends up leading to a powerless life. It's evident. For not abiding in Jesus, we will experience the disconnection between our eternal power source at some point in our life. But I just really had on my heart today that you and I would lift up our eyes and see not just what God wants to do in our world and in us personally. Philippians 4 is a verse that talks about rejoicing in the Lord. And again, he says rejoice. And what is rejoicing? It's remembering the favor of God, remembering the goodness of God. And it goes on to say that when we actually come to that place of rejoicing in prayer, maybe that's where you need to start in prayer, is instead of just writing a list and going straight into that, maybe you just need to actually come to the place of prayer and just begin thanking God for what you've already seen him do in your life. But it goes on, it says rejoice. And as you rejoice and then come to God with prayer and petitions and supplications, it says when you come into abiding in God, the peace of God which is above comprehension, it transcends our understanding. It says when we come to abide in God, then and only then does his supernatural peace come upon our mind and our heart, guarding our mind and our heart. And I just believe right now that some of you, some of us need to actually engage in declaring these words of Philippians 4. But I see, and I'm going to go into what I especially feel for us today, that we not only need to come to a place where we experience the power of God in our own life, but friends, the temperature and the degree of what we're going to see God do in our world, in this community, in this shopping center, in this town, in this nation, and this world is only going to be by the temperature and the depth of our prayer life. And in Acts 3, I really need to just tell you about this. In Acts 3, Peter and John, they heard these words of Jesus when he says, "Truly, truly I tell you, whoever believes in me and abides in me will be able to do even greater works." But it didn't just become a sermon on one service for them. It became a lifestyle. How do I know that? Well, we see the reality of that in Acts 3. It says in Acts 3 that they were on their way up to the temple at the hour of prayer, the ninth hour, and a man lame from birth was being carried, whom they laid daily at the gate of the temple, called Beautiful. This man was laid there to ask for alms, ask for handouts of those that were entering the temple. And seeing Peter and John about to go into the Pneuma church service, he asked to receive alms. And Peter directed his gaze at him, as did John. And they said to him, "Look at us." And this man fixed his attention on them, expecting to receive something from them. But Peter said, "I have no silver and I have no gold, but what I do have, I give to you. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk." And he took the man by the right hand, raised him up, and immediately his feet and ankles were made strong. And leaping up, this man, he began to walk. He entered the Pneuma church service with them, and walking and leaping and praising God. And all the people saw him walking and praising God, and they had a moment of recognition that he was the man who used to sit at the gate called Beautiful, asking for handouts, asking for things, begging. And they were filled with wonder and amazement at what had happened to them. How do I know Peter and John had a lifestyle of prayer? Because of the power that was released in their life. They said, "Silver and gold I do not have, but what I do have I give to you. In the name of Jesus Christ, stand up and walk." I found it pretty interesting. We're about to close, going to worship. I found it pretty interesting, though, that it says that they were on their way to the hour of prayer. They weren't coming from the hour of prayer. And I love the infallible, Holy Spirit-inspired scripture, because I think it's so specific for what God's wanting to speak into our hearts today. They were on their way to the hour of prayer. Now, maybe if they had been on their way from the hour of prayer, we could have said, well, it was the overflow of corporate worship that actually something was imparted for them to be able to see that man healed. But they weren't on their way from the prayer meeting. They were on their way to the prayer meeting. But it was on the way to the prayer meeting that they had already had something supernatural to give to somebody that was in need. And I just wonder, Pneuma South, church, friends, family, how many more people we would see walking in these doors with us to our church servants or coming to our lounge for life group if you and I moved past just expecting something for God to do in us in the corporate gathering, and we were so ready to actually allow God to do something through us before we even got there. And maybe when we parked our car and we saw someone parked next to us and we felt a prompting, because hello, we had already been praying that morning, we had been abiding in relationship with God, we didn't need the service to be a top me up, we wanted the service to come in the overflow of what we had already been abiding in that morning. Or maybe the person 2 rows in front of you, behind you, or seats next to you, God would just lead you to pray for them. Could you just imagine with me, every single one of us here today, settled in our heart, that prayer is going to become a consistent and daily priority for us? Because I believe there are so many people in our world that are crying out like this man at that gate, "God, would you show me something more? Is there even a value to my life? What on earth am I here for?" And there's so many people that are crying out for God to bring a manifestation of his person and his presence and his power. And I need you to know today from the Father's heart, you are the answer. But the reality is, it's going to come a point where you need to be reminded that unless you're plugged into your power source, there ain't going to be no power. Would you all stand with me today? Would you just lift up your hands? Truly, truly, I say to you, whoever believes in me will also do the works that I do, and greater works than these will he or she do, because I am going to the Father. Whatever you ask in my name, according to my will, according to my ways, then this I will do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If you ask me anything in my name, I will do it. Please begin learning and growing more in your prayer with God. Please begin to be embraced and in a place where you're learning from other people. But please, 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 church, just begin praying. The best way to learn is just by speaking. And God, I just pray right now for every person here today with arms lifted up, Father, that this word, Lord God, will be saturated, Lord God, and hitting their heart because of your love, God, that it's not by compulsion, it's not in guilt, it's not in shame, it's not anything else, but God, because of the desire that you've called us to be in relationship with you, to abide in you. And God, I pray that every single one of us today, oh God, let the desire for prayer increase. Let the hunger for your presence increase. God, I pray that we would be dissatisfied any day that we are not found in your presence. God, that we would be dissatisfied any day where we do not have a conversation with you, bringing our doubts, bringing our joys, bringing our concerns, whatever it might be, God, to you. I declare, Lord Jesus, that this is a house of prayer that you said it would be. And God, I declare that 2020, it will be. That we will be people of prayer and that we will see you do powerful, mighty, and wonderful things. God, I declare it. We receive it. And God, right now as we worship, declare that victory is in your name. God, we're declaring that the victory comes in our life and through us because we're connected to our eternal power source. And that we can overcome all things because we abide in you. Prayer fueling the power of you working in us and through us. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you for joining us for this message today. We don't assume that every person listening has a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. And so today, we invite you to begin following Jesus as your Lord and Savior. The Bible teaches that every one of us has been created for a relationship with God. Sin has separated us from that relationship, but God loved us so much that he gave us his one and only Son, Jesus Christ. Jesus lived, died, and rose again, conquering sin, Satan, and death itself. If we believe in our hearts that God has raised Jesus from the dead, and we confess with our mouth that Jesus is Lord, we will be saved. So if you are ready to pray in faith, turning away from your sin and believing in Jesus for your salvation, please pray this prayer. Dear Jesus, I believe that you are the Son of God, and I ask you to forgive me and cleanse my heart from all of my sin. I receive by faith the free gift of eternal life, and I ask that you would fill me with the Holy Spirit. I thank you that I am born again as a child of God and that you have made me a new creation in Christ Jesus. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. If you have prayed that prayer for the first time, we would love to know and help connect you to a local church in your area. You can contact us on our website, newma.church. Thank you for listening.